Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Well, I think that was an incredible performance from our kids and from Xenia and Callista, her daughter. What powerful words, hey? And definitely teary already. I thought, how amazing that is a mother's journey, isn't it? That even down to our last breath, we are not giving up. We will, when they say there's nothing left, we will not give up. When there's nobody else left who believes, we are not giving up on our kids. And that's what it means to be a mum, hey? And motherhood, there's a quote that says, life doesn't come with a manual, but it comes with a mother. Yeah. So true. Motherhood is a choice that is made every day to put someone else's happiness, someone else's well-being ahead of your own. To teach the hard lessons, to do the right thing, even when you don't know what the right thing is, and to forgive yourself over and over and over again for feeling like you're not doing everything right. Motherhood and parenting is an adventure. It is a refining journey, growing us every day. It's filled with a lot of joy and love and excitement. Nothing beats a toddler cuddle, right? But it's also filled with pain and heartache, disappointments, unmet expectations, mum guilt, it's a real thing, a myriad of emotions and unexpected moments every single day. And how good that today we can take this moment to reflect on that, to celebrate it and honour it, to also encourage one another. And so I want to extend to everyone in the room who's a mum a huge happy Mother's Day, and also to everyone tuning in online. If you're a mum, we want to wish you a really, really happy Mother's Day. I hope today's already been filled with wonderful things. Hopefully today you've come to church with some of your Mother's Day items on. I know I've seen before out in the foyer some earrings that were handmade and a few little items. Very lovely. I've got my little card down there that was made in Kids Church. I am wearing my earrings today that I got for Mother's Day. They were handmade, but not by Rick and Rose. And so I thought I can wear them today. Very nice. Well, if you don't know me, my name is Beck, and that was my husband, Rick, before. We've been married for 12 years, just 12 years. And we have got a beautiful three-year-old daughter. Her name is Rose. I'm going to be sharing a little bit more about that throughout my message. And we have been honoured to be part of the Nations family for just 3 years now, and it has been a huge 3 years for us. A lot has happened and taken place in 3 years, and we just feel really honoured to be part of this journey. And as a church, we know God has so much in store for us, especially in this season. What God has entrusted to us to steward is incredible. We don't take that lightly, and we have so much anticipation in our hearts for all the things God has in store for us, and I hope you do too. So today on Mother's Day, I am very, very aware that here in the room, online, we have people joining with us who've had very mixed experiences with motherhood, with family, and I just want to acknowledge that just for a moment. You know, here in the room and online, we have got mothers who've lost children, and I acknowledge you. We've got children who've lost their mothers, and today can be a particularly hard day. We've got those who with strained relationships, and those who long to be mothers but aren't mothers yet. And even those who, the journey of life, they never became mothers. And so you're here in the room today, and that is a mixture of complexity, and I totally understand that. And my prayer today is that just as God knows, He knows the condition of your heart, He knows the desires of your heart, that today you would receive from Him exactly what you need. That just as He knows, He's also the only one able to do it. He's the only one able to repair every broken piece, restore us. He's also the only one able to fulfill every longing. And so that's my prayer today, that every one of us here would receive exactly what we need from God this morning. So today I'm going to be sharing from God's word out of a scripture that personally has impacted me for many years, way before I became a parent. And it's a scripture that I held on to with hope for many years, and that is very encouraging. And so it's Isaiah 54, verse 1 to 5. So you want to turn there with me. It says this, verse 1, sing barren woman, you who never bore a child, burst into song, shout for joy, you who were never in labor, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband, says the Lord. Verse 2, enlarge the place of your tent, stretch your tent curtains wide, do not hold back, lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes, for you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in the desolate cities. Do not be afraid. You will not be put to shame. Do not fear disgrace. You will not be humiliated. You will forget the shame of your youth and remember no more the reproach of your widowhood. For your Maker is your husband. The Lord Almighty is his name. The Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. He is called the God of all the earth. And that is such a powerful scripture, one that encourages us right where we are at. And if you tuned in last week, if you're in the room, if you're online, you would have heard Pastor Ken preach from the exact same scripture. And he shared an incredible message about living a shameless life. And I want to encourage you, if you didn't get the chance to hear that message, to do that. Go online, check it out on YouTube, on podcast, because it will really help you on your journey. And here in this passage, we have a picture of a woman who has lost everything, everything of significance in her life. She is a widow without offspring. She has no protection, no support, seemingly no future. But God is calling her out of her situation. He is calling her into her truest identity and the future, the one that can only be found in him, her truest husband, her Redeemer, the God of all the earth. And you know, this imagery here is actually used to describe collectively God's people and where they were at as a people in desperate need of God to move, stripped of everything that was their identity. They were a nation without a land, without a God almost, but God doesn't leave them there. He comes and speaks life over them. He comes and calls them out of their barrenness and declares over them who they really are and who they will become. And it's so powerful that here God actually gives us the only remedy to our barren state, and that is him. And so today we're going to be looking at this, just this reality of what it looks like in life to be in a barren place, but to experience God and his supernatural hand. When we look at the reality of a barren woman in ancient times, where this passage holds its context, we're talking about the ultimate stigma for a woman in Bible times. It was considered having a serious illness, a disability. Fertility was one of the defining factors of a woman's worth and value in a patriarchal society. So without it, it meant that you lacked favor. It meant that you lacked blessing, and even you lacked the ability to walk in God's blessing. It was something to be ridiculed. It was a curse. It was the result of sin, some kind of divine punishment. So this is the stigma that women who could not bear children carried in that time, and this is what the Israelites are being compared to. We see many stories of barrenness paralleled through the Bible, particularly the Old Testament. We see Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, Samson's mother, Hannah, the Shunammite woman. The barren woman became an outcast. She had no obligations, no future purpose. And often she was a desperate woman. And even as we see in Genesis, Rachel cries out, she would rather die than not have her own child. So when we read this passage of scripture, we see this word barren and we actually feel the pain, the shame, the absolute sting of the word describing God's people. And yet what God declares here in this passage is for this woman who has lost everything to sing, for her unimaginable miracle is coming. Just like every single one of these childless matriarchs in the Old Testament, they prophetically were foretelling what God was capable and is capable of doing. That all throughout the Bible, we see that this is God's heart. He brings dead things back to life. He fills empty spaces with life, with hope, with future, with purpose. And this is the message. It's what this passage is telling us. It is what really the story of the whole Bible is telling us and pointing us towards what eventually happens in the work of Jesus, that he brings dead things to life. Yeah. And so today I have called my message, Your Unimaginable Miracle. Yeah. So I don't know about you, but I have reflected a lot about witnessing miracles. It's something that I've longed for, I've wished for, and personally hoped for in my life. And in my reflections, one of the conclusions I've come to is that in order to experience a miracle, we must first face an impossible situation. It is just the reality of it. We can be going and hoping, we want miracles, God, miracles. But actually the reality of a miracle is that it couldn't be done. And so we are in these situations. Miracle territory is often filled with pain, disappointment, impossibility, a dry and barren land. It is a place without answers. It is filled with uncertainty. It is a place of wilderness wandering, a place of stripping back. And what happens in this place is that there is a refining and a readying for the promise. It is the place where is a precursor for a miracle. To a new land, to a miraculous birth, to a new identity, to empowerment, to entrustment. That every trial, every pain, every heartache, every challenge placed into the hands of our loving God is a miracle in the making. We don't get to control the how or the when or the what. But what our God is capable of is taking every impossible situation, turning it around for his glory. And that we know to be true. For Rick and I, we have had our own experiences of navigating barren seasons. After many years of trying to conceive, we found ourselves experiencing unexplained infertility. And infertility can feel like a lonely place. It can sometimes feel like it's without answers. And we especially didn't feel like we knew anything about how to navigate it. We also had moments where we felt like we were the only ones. And let me just say, for everyone who's been through this, you know, the moment you walk into a fertility clinic at 7 a.m, it is filled to the brim with other women waiting to get their blood tests done every morning. In that moment, you realize you're not the only one. And there are lots of people going through this. And then you see the odd male sitting there like a deer in the headlights, awkwardly waiting for their moment. For us, this path, it was a challenging season, but it didn't lead us to getting pregnant. And for me personally, when I reflect on that season, I am actually filled with, I guess, wonder, knowing that that was actually another facet being carved into my life, where I experienced rich intimacy with God, where I experienced deeper empathy for others, where God was doing something deep in me. And so I don't regret that season. I actually see it as a time where God was doing a deep work in me. But it was towards the end of 2014, and we felt prompted to walk down the road of adoption. And it wasn't actually something that we necessarily talked about, but it had been something in my heart since I was a little girl. And there were many factors in my life that had led me to think about adoption. But at that point, it felt like something in the back recesses of my mind. And I remember we were driving. We literally just had a failed embryo transfer, and we were driving down to Mandurah to get some clarity. And I just was in the car with Rick and said, we need to adopt. This is what our journey should be. And we felt great peace about that. We got people praying for us as well. And we just felt to close the door to that road and start walking on this path. And there's many, many details in the years that came on that journey, and I don't have time to share about them. Always happy to chat about it. But for us, 4 and a bit years later from that moment, fast forward then, we were here at Nations Church. We just joined the team here. And I remember it was the footy grand final weekend of 2018. Rick actually said the Eagles won. I didn't even, couldn't think of anything else in that moment. Well, there was a lot going on in this weekend. Rick and I would pop to Kmart to grab some stuff, and we received a phone call that changed our life. And we were literally standing in an aisle at Kmart with the loudspeaker on, blubbering our eyes out, that we had been matched to a beautiful little girl, a 10-month-old baby girl, and she was to become our daughter, and her name was Rose. She was born here in Perth, and in that instant, our lives changed forever. And I will never forget that moment. It was so surreal. Everything we had been hoping and praying for was now becoming a reality, and we were experiencing our unimaginable miracle. So just right now, I'd love to show you guys a clip we prepared a few years ago now, but the moment we announced our adoption was finalized, so we can watch that on the screen. To rewatch reminds us of that time, goes so quick. But as it's Mother's Day, I actually just want to acknowledge also the reality of adoption, and that Rose is our daughter, and as our daughter, she will always have two mothers. And there's the one who's very present in her life, who loves her very, very much, me, her forever mum. But also she has her first mother. And she's one of my personal heroes because she chose to love Rose sacrificially by entrusting her to us, and that we would fill in the gap that she didn't feel she could do. And we want to forever honour her. And even though we've actually never met her, she's already an incredible mum in my eyes. And on this day, we celebrate her, and we celebrate others like her who have given children the gift of life, and the gift of a life she didn't feel she could give Rose. And so we do. We honour her, and, you know, we're so grateful for people, all, you know, all walks of life who are doing the same, sacrificing for their kids. And that's what it means to be a mum, hey? Okay. So today, in the moments we have left, I want to encourage you around the reality of navigating your unimaginable miracle. I know in all of our lives, we have areas that feel either dry or lifeless, where we can't figure out what the purpose is, whether this is specific to parenting, or could be your marriage, in your finances, your relationships, your career. It could be battles with your mental and physical health. And right now, that miracle feels very unimaginable. So today, I just want to reflect on some truths that helped Rick and I navigate seasons of barrenness and the choices that we need to make as we hope and wait. And so my first point today is actually trusting God with your uncontrollable situation. In Proverbs 3, verse 5 to 6, a bit of a life verse, it says this: "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all of your ways. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight." Trust does not mean that I get handed all the answers or that it will all go the way that I deem appropriate. So the moment we say, "I trust you, God, but this is how it has to go," it's not really trust. Do you know, on our journey many years ago now, I remember talking to a mentor, one of my pastors, and she just said this phrase, and it really caught my attention and caught my heart. She said to me specifically, knowing I don't have children, "You would do anything for your child." And it caught me because right there I needed perspective of what I was still yet to go through in order to have our child. And Our child, who we did not have yet in the natural, needed me to wait, needed me to believe, needed me to pray, needed me to stay faithful, to not become jaded or bitter or cynical, but to continue to trust God, to prepare for the day that we would call her ours. And that's what trusting is. It's for anyone who's in that waiting zone where there is no answer just yet. Jesus understands that, and he's able to work right in the midst of that moment. He's able to meet you right where you are at. And all he asks is that you invite him into that space. That I have witnessed so, so many unimaginable miracles that have came out of very hard places, broken places, desert places, from those who would just trust Jesus. Trusting is us, the clay, being shaped by God, the potter. It is not always knowing why or how or what, but knowing who. God is the one doing the shaping. He is the one, only the only one capable of refining us and preparing us for what he has in store for us. And it's understanding that in the wilderness, in the place of exile, in our barrenness, where all our worldly roles, positions, titles, and normal expectations are stripped back, they're stripped away, that God is able to do his deepest, most intimate, and rich work in our lives. And you know, for the Israelites, they needed to be in the wilderness so that they could strip back all of the ways of the world and be reshaped into the likeness and image of God, for them to be image bearers. They needed to be brought into the wilderness. And you know, for us, we need to recognize there is always purpose to be found in the wilderness. There is always something that God is up to under the surface. And when we get to the point in our lives where there is no other option but to trust God, we do experience what it feels like to trust God. And that is the reality of these barren wilderness places. It's where our trust is refined and tested. It's where it becomes rich and where we truly rely on God. I love that in Isaiah 54 verse 1, that this barren woman is given the directive to sing out for what is coming, not because she's already received it, but to start powerfully praising, making declarations, making joyful noises, shouting for joy before anything is received. And my second point is giving God unconditional praise. This means we need to learn to sing in every circumstance. It is putting on the garment of praise instead of comparison, instead of doubt, instead of complaining, instead of fear, instead of control. It is holding on to God's promise instead of just nursing our pain. And I think we can all agree that when things start to veer off the path we deem to be the one we're supposed to be on, we stress, we worry, we try to take control, but sometimes we also start to blame God or become distant to him or distant to his people. And if we would just allow God to be God in our lives, firstly trusting him, but now declaring truth, his truth over our situations, as we begin to pray, as we begin to worship, as we begin to praise, we experience God in his bigness. Rather than just being overwhelmed by our circumstances, our perspective is lifted and shifted. And in Isaiah 61 verse 3, there is a powerful prophetic passage about the ministry of Jesus, what God was and has done in and through his people. And it says this: he came to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and the garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. What a powerful picture of what God is able to do with even the most broken, pain-filled moments of our lives, that he takes it, he molds us, he actually comes right into the moment and he covers our pain. He covers us, but he actually doesn't just leave us there. He gives us what we need to rise and become those mighty oaks for his glory. And that is such a powerful picture of exactly what happens when not only we trust God, but we start to praise God. And even if we haven't received it yet, we just praise. We praise and we believe, and God is so able. I remember a moment for me personally in 2014, right in the midst of treatment. I was feeling very fragile, very emotionally and physically fragile, and I didn't even want to move. And anyone's been through this, or even someone who's experienced miscarriage, your body just feels a little bit fragile. And I didn't even want to, I know this overshare, I didn't even want to go to the toilet. I just wanted to sit and not move because I so wanted it to work. And I remember just sitting at home and this song came to mind and I just started singing it. And it's actually from a kid's movie called Joseph, King of Dreams. You may or may not know, it's sort of a little bit old now. But if you've never heard this, I, you know, encourage you, if you need some encouragement, go look it up on YouTube. It's called You Know Better Than I. And I'm just going to read out some of the lyrics. And this is what I just became my declaration. I thought I did what's right. I thought I had the answers. But I thought I chose the surest road. But that road brought me here. So I put up a fight and told you how to help me. Now just when I've given up, the truth is coming clear. Next verse. If this has been a test, I cannot see the reason. But maybe knowing I don't know is part of getting through. I tried to do what's best, but faith has made it easy. To see the best thing I can do is put my trust in you. And this is the chorus. For you know better than I. You know the way. I've let go my need to know why. For you know better than I. And this is the bridge. I saw one cloud and thought it was the sky. I saw a bird and thought that I could follow. But it was you who taught that bird to fly. If I let you reach me, will you teach me? For you know better than I. You know the way. I've let go the need to know why. I'll take what answers you supply. You know better than I. And I just sang this song. This was my song for that season. Over and over again. I meant it with all my heart. And it was many years after that moment that I actually became a parent. But in that moment, my heart shifted. And as I praised, I could see God and the path he had for me. Rick and I just felt so secure knowing God had a plan and a path for our life. That surety, just it was in our hearts. We didn't worry about the fact that God was going to do it. We didn't know how or what, but we knew he was going to do it. Obviously, there were challenges, and obviously, it didn't always go perfectly, but in every season, Rick and I have resolved we're going to acknowledge and honor God with everything we have. And also, we made a decision way back then that we were not going to compare ourselves to others, but to celebrate others in their season. And you know, for anyone who's gone through infertility, you know, left, right, and center, everyone seems to be getting pregnant around you. You're in that season of life. It's baby showers and birthday parties, and you're like, okay, cool. many years, we would do everything we could to love on our friends, to shower them with love and celebrate them in their moments, to be aunties and uncles to every kid that we could. You know, we loved on them. We even threw baby showers for them. We just did everything in our power to enjoy their journeys. And actually, as we did that, we grew, and it was genuine. You know, we genuinely grew. And it actually, as we began to celebrate God, celebrate others, we grew on the inside too. Our capacity to believe for more grew. We never doubted God had something great in store for us. We did not know how that was going to come to be. We didn't. But in those moments, we made a decision. We're not going to let our circumstances weigh us down. Instead, we're going to look up, we're going to praise, and we're going to see what God sees. We're going to sing out. We're going to see what God sees. And do you know, how will we as Christians ever declare the goodness of God if we shrink back and run away in the midst of adversity? Instead, he's calling his people to sing and praise him right in the middle of every trial and every challenge. And you know, as we journeyed, we felt peace in trusting God. We felt his peace. His peace was with us. It was real. It was tangible. And do you know, as I've mentioned, in God's timing, we had our moment. God's timing was unknown to us, but fully known to him. where our miracle came into fruition. And now it's 2021 and we're walking in that miracle. And, you know, I just get this continued sense that for us here, there are a lot of people who are walking in their miracle. You are living in abundance. You're walking in what God has called you to. Sometimes when we're in the midst of adversity, we cling to God in hard times. It comes very natural. We might doubt, we might question, but we realize we can't navigate this without Him. And so we are desperate and we trust Him. But unfortunately, our sinful nature tends to forget when the bank account's full, when life is busy. We can sometimes say, oh, I've got this now, I've got it. And we forget what it feels like to trust God completely, to give Him our whole lives. And actually, as we are grateful, as we declare gratitude in our everyday life, we remember what we have. We actually see what we do have and we don't focus on what we don't have. And living a life of gratitude is actually really, really important for us as Christians, that we will always remember who God is in our lives. We will always walk trusting Him. We will always sing out in the midst of trial. We will always have uncompromising gratitude. And this is the reality when it comes to seeing God move. He's got more for us. I don't know if you know that today, but God has more in store for you. He doesn't want us to just camp where we're at right now. As we start praising, as we start being grateful to God, we start to see through His eyes and the more that He has. When we bring everything that we have in our hand right now and allow God to use it for His glory, He will. He will do exactly that. He will use your life right where you are at. Mums and dads with little ones, that season goes so quick. Allow God in right now. He has got a plan for it. In every season of our life that goes so quick, God has a plan. And if we will start to be grateful in every moment, we will see what He has in store for us and He will use it for His glory. Romans 8:28 is a powerful scripture. It says this: we are confident that God is able to orchestrate everything to work together for something good and beautiful when we love Him and accept His invitation to live according to His plan. The reality is, our unimaginable miracle is coming as we trust God in our uncontrollable situations and giving God unconditional praise, living every single day with uncompromising gratitude. We will see His hand at work in every area of our life. Ephesians 3:20 verse 21. Let me declare this scripture over you. Let it build your faith. Now to Him who is able, our God is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be the glory. Amen. Amen. I pray that that scripture would just resonate with you, that God is able, He is willing, He wants to move, and He will use your life for His glory.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com.